JT, live in Vegas.
From the Las Vegas Strip, right to our studios on Flamingo.
Woohoo!
I'm here because I got to put two kids through college.
LeBron.
We ask everybody to participate, from Uber drivers to taxi drivers to bartenders. I mean, I never slow down. I stand up in the studio. I'm excited to be on the radio. I like energetic callers who have opinions. Sound off like you got a pair.
Woohoo!
Oh, I'm cranky Yankee. How do the Yankees lose a game like this? Are you kidding me?
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Great day today to be in Vegas. Are you kidding me? Wow, the NBA, Adam Silver, a gaming data agreement, and maybe the potential for NBA expansion much sooner than we all thought. Welcome to the show, brought to you by Golden Entertainment, your home of PTs. Get to their happy hour between 5 and 7. You'll love it. You won't believe the discounted deals, the gaming, the food, the menu, and all the 55-plus locations here in the Valley. As you know, they own the Stratosphere. Get you into a PTs. Go to the SG Bar. I think you'll love it for the sports experience that we love right here in Vegas. We got a big show. Jim Trotter, one of the best NFL insiders. I just got off a text exchange with him. He wants to come on. There's a lot of news in the NFL we'll talk about with him. He's going to join us at either the bottom of the hour or 4:40. We're just trying to lock that up. And a brand new insider for the Raiders who should be really important to our show, Matt Schneidman. He covers the Raiders for the Mercury News in Oakland and just got out of college, got into the business a little while ago, and he is on the ground like Michael Gelkin, Ed Graney, Scott Baer, all the insiders that I'm trying to build up from the ground to have the best and most elite Raiders insiders right here exclusively on this show. I mean, they'll be on other shows too, but we'll have them round up for all the big news with the Raiders as they're a couple of years away from Vegas, but the season starts here in a little bit over a month. Well, he'll join us here at about 4:20 as we get going out of the gate. There's a lot of news around camp. There's still holdouts. There are players like Stephon Diggs, who made that great catch for the Vikings that sent him to the championship game. He's making more money than I could ever dream of. Wow, Jerry Rice and T.O., I understand why they want back in the game. I understand why people want to play as long as they can with some of the salaries that are out there and what we're seeing. So we'll get to some of the holdouts. Hopefully there's not a lot of injuries in the preseason, a hot topic for me going forward. How do you practice? My son's had football practice today. I went to both of my kids' practice. How do you win in practice at the lowest levels of Pop Warner through high school to the NFL if you don't have contact? I'm all for shells and helmets and shorts. I get it. You got to save the brain. You got to make sure you protect the players. But how are you going to have a league that takes it to the next level if you don't have players tackling? And the Gerrion Conley injury, and we'll talk about that coming up here with one of our insiders. Gerrion Conley, the cornerback out of Ohio State, not going to be ready for the Raiders for probably 2 to 3 weeks, mostly three we're hearing, for a hip strain. The guy can't get on the field. And the Raiders, I envision a time, all NFL teams, and the NBA is different, there's only 12 players on the roster, and the Warriors seem to have six of the top 15 in the league. It's insane what the Warriors are doing, right? Every NFL team has got to find a way to get a big five of players. Five players who are the stars, and then underneath it, bridge it with really good players, and then young players who you don't have to pay because they're rookies, undrafted free agents. And then you put your team together, and you become a Super Bowl contender. The Patriots are the best at that. They've developed their young stars. From Rob Gronkowski, look at Tom Brady. Look at the players that come in and out via the draft. They get players like Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, Chris Hogan from other teams and deals. And they put everybody under the cap. They play in a very easy division, wink, wink, very easy. But their concepts are right, and that's how they build. With the Raiders, I dream of a day where they have a big five. And the five consists of Carr, the quarterback, Mack, the best defensive player in football, Amari Cooper, and my goal was this kid, Gerrion Conley, being either number 4 or 5 as a foundation point. The Raiders have had Mike Haynes, Lester Hayes, Charles Woodson, Well, Gerion Conley, if we're going to take you in the first round and make a move to get you, you got to develop into being one of the big five. And then you can pencil in that fifth player. It's someone who surprises you. It could be Jordy Nelson. Might be Marshawn Lynch for a year. But you get what I'm saying? You need a big five foundation. If Gerion Conley can't get on the field and they can't keep this kid healthy, they're losing a valuable asset and a player who can jump in and be a Pro Bowler. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. But the breaking news earlier today, the NBA has become the first major U.S. sports league to partner with a sportsbook operator as legal wagering begins to expand as the federal mandate has been taken down at the state level now. Adam Silver announced that the league struck a deal with MGM Resorts. Who would have thought about that? How does that feel, everybody? Can I say it again? The NBA and the MGM Resorts to be the exclusive gaming partner of the NBA and the WNBA. Here's the commissioner.
Today we're here for what we believe is a historic announcement, and that is that MGM Resorts will be the NBA's first official gaming partner.
Big deal. That's now, this is a fluid situation, as this was just announced. Over the next couple of days, hopefully, R.J. Bell's coming on the national show. We got other guests that we're going to get in here. We're going to try to figure out what this could mean. For the data guys who are out there listening, call the show, 876-1340. For the sportsbook fans out there, you bet on the NBA. Give us your opinion. You know more than me as we sit here today at 876-1340. But I look at it as a huge deal for the city that we live in Las Vegas. I look at it as an opportunity for Las Vegas to become a bigger professional gaming town for sports and add another elite NBA franchise to this city sooner than later. You see, I broadcast this show during the NBA All-Star game when it was here, and it was a train wreck. It was no way to spin it. Don't tell me no, it was better. No, let's not bring it up, JT. Put it behind us. It was a train wreck of what happened in this town. As people invaded Las Vegas, there weren't enough hotel rooms. People overran the city, ran out on bills, didn't pay their bills, fights, people just walking through casinos, lighting up whatever they wanted to light up, and everybody looked around and said, "What is this?" That was a black eye for the NBA, in my opinion, in Las Vegas. Now, fast forward, all that's behind us. Adam Silver really likes this city a lot, and the partners that are here understand how to work with other major markets to bring the biggest and the greatest names to Las Vegas for entertainment and do it around sports now. Commissioner Silver has been a proponent of monetizing sports wagering for the NBA. He's made that clear. He's now found a trusted partner in the MGM, which has sponsored NBA Summer League, adopted a WNBA franchise, and now signed on to this data-sharing agreement. I think when it's all said and done, the MGM and Las Vegas especially get an NBA franchise, and the NBA taps a monumental revenue stream as it collects a toll on the league's wagering future. I think the league is ready for expansion. There are a ton of players around the world who are really good, and there's not enough jobs, and they can't come into this league. And now there could be growth on that end, and the players' union would love that. I think Seattle and Las Vegas get a franchise sooner rather than later with this news from earlier today. Silver talked about the MGM and this partnership going forward.
MGM has a very unique position with the NBA and the WNBA. Of course, the MGM, and through Jim Murren as their CEO, is the owner of the Las Vegas Aces, our WNBA team in Las Vegas. And in addition, MGM is our partner in the Las Vegas Summer League.
OMG. I mean, oh my God, that's the commissioner sitting here praising a gaming company, a resort company, and the MGM, talking about how they have the ownership of the Aces, and then going back to the Summer League. He's giving us the roadmap for the team. When my friend Mark Davis, my boss, was thinking about moving the Raiders because of the toxic environment in Oakland in regards to Oakland politics, L.A. looked like the best fit. Carson, California, split deal with the Chargers to do it together on a piece of dirt where 18 to 20 million people could get to, and the Raiders have more fans than the Rams and the Chargers combined, no debate. Well, that deal didn't come together. They'll be writing books for decades on how the deal was brought to Mark Davis to come to Las Vegas. From Mr. Adelson to the governor, Brian Sandoval, to all the executives who helped get this stadium built, as you see it right there on the 15. But there was no roadmap. That's what I've been talking about inside the Raider organization. I know these people and what they've tried to do and how they're doing it with good faith. They needed partners along the way as deals crumbled in Oakland, as deals kind of fell apart in Carson. How would something else open up a new trail for one of the most famous franchises in sports history, the Oakland Raiders? It took work politically to get it done and bring the Raiders to Las Vegas, which will be a boom for this economy for the next 50 to 100 years. No debate. Got an NFL team. We're set. We're magical. We got it. We got an NFL team, and they happen to be global. Now today, I'm watching SportsCenter, and we don't need a roadmap. I don't need to pull over at the Las Vegas sign and go, excuse me, can I have a map to how we're going to get an NBA team here? Adam Silver just did it. He said, I love the Summer League. I love the MGM. I like the WNBA. We need help with that. And it seems like you're good partners. Let's do a deal. And then the next step would be to get an NBA team here. This is awesome as Silver thinks outside the box and he wants to be better than the other leagues.
Jim and I had an opportunity to spend a fair amount of time together in July when I was in Las Vegas for the Summer League. And we said, let's take advantage of this opportunity to do something historic. And that is to enter into the first commercial partnership between a gaming establishment and the NBA.
So you might be saying as you're driving around, wow, JT's really reaching on this. What is he talking about, expansion and the NBA? And you could be right. You could be right because this isn't that big of a deal. The MGM Resorts, the exclusive official gaming partner of the NBA and the WNBA, the MGM also receives the rights to use league highlights logos and a direct data feed from the NBA that will be used to help fuel the company's growing sports betting footprint. Industry sources pegged the deal to be 3 years and at least $25 million. Well, what's that? Khalil Mack's looking for how much? $80 million guaranteed? Khalil Mack is bigger than this entire deal between the NBA and the WNBA and the MGM initially. But what could it be again down the road? We couldn't talk about football revenue in this town 2, 3, 5, 10, 15 years ago. Now we could at least debate, which this show likes to do, debate what could happen to this town with NFL revenue coming in from hotel taxes, from game day experiences. No one knows. There are professors at UNLV who know more than anybody, and they're not sure. But with the NBA, we know the NBA is hot. We know the NBA loves Vegas, and maybe this gets Jim Murin and Adam Silver and other partners to come in and go, you know what? We have USA basketball there. We have the Summer League there. We got a WNBA team there. We like to go there with our partners and wives and our families. We love the big glitz of Las Vegas. Can we kind of figure out everybody as we have teams in Orlando that are doing nothing, in New Orleans that are doing nothing? All due respect to Portland, a good NBA town that I like a lot. If we're doing business in Milwaukee and Portland, can we please do business in Las Vegas? And it used to be like a Bugsy movie. No, we can't do business there because there's gaming. Ooh, there could be gaming issues. Well, now everybody's saying, hell with that. We got to get in there and get their cash. We got to get our partnerships down with them if there's going to be legalized gaming in every state and everybody's going to get their act together down the road. So a lot I just gave you there. I want to hear from you at 876-1340. Again, this all sounds great on a JT the Brick podcast. It needs callers with energy who know more and are excited about this and like the opportunity on this Adam Silver press conference from earlier today. 876-1340, or I'll read your tweets at JT the Brick. A couple other quick things I want to get to. The baseball trade deadline is the big story of the day. Bigger than this NBA deal, but we live in Vegas. I wanted to lead with that. Trade deadline comes and goes. The biggest takeaway is the 6 or 7 elite teams all got better. So everybody got a piece. From the Red Sox getting Ian Kinsler, the Yankees got 3 pitchers, even the Pirates going out and making a pretty big deal to get Archer, a really good pitcher, and the bloodletting of the Baltimore Orioles. the fact that the entire Oriole organization, everybody was available for Manny Machado, who went to the Dodgers, and a whole bunch of other players shipped out of there. We'll get into this tonight more after 5 o'clock, but if you have any news, anything you want to hit on the baseball trade deadline, I mean, I think baseball needs deals. They need deals, and Bryce Harper did not get traded. Not that I think he would have been traded, but I would have loved to have seen him move to the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs potentially, if those are the suitors for him down the road. Remember, if those are the teams down the road that are going to want Bryce Harper, the Dodgers, obviously the Yankees, the Cubs, if I'm forgetting a team here, well, there was a little bit of a window to call the Nationals and go after a deal and try to get something done. I think it was smart for him to stay. Just came off the home run derby. That looked really good. You don't trade a guy a week after the home run derby, 2 weeks after that, and say, hey, we're done for the year. It's a bad look in the nation's capital. Sonny, thanks for checking in. You're on Fox. Hello.
How you doing today?
Good.
Great. Hey, I was in the industry, sports entertainment, through concessions and whatnot, and you asked, saying, who knows what the impact is going to be for the NBA in Las Vegas. Really, you'd have to just look at what the impact was for the NHL. And then you multiply that by the times of games. The NBA is obviously more popular with, I would think, that the set of people that's here in Las Vegas. I'm a new transplant myself. I've only been here for 2 years.
Right.
I was still beyond belief to see an NHL team and all the excitement and the diversity of people wearing Golden Knights gear that you wouldn't see typically anywhere else. But everybody got behind the team. Everybody backed them. Everybody pushed. As far as the NBA goes, I think you'd have that tenfold. So the economic impact from hotels, taxes, all the other stuff that goes along with a concession is going to be huge.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks for the call. It's going to be monstrous. But again, how do we take the revenue number? How do we find out what's going to be legally bet on the NBA and what the NBA is going to want out of that in their fee? That's one of the big points here, why I believe Adam Silver is doing this. Do we all understand that? That Adam Silver likes the MGM, they want to share data and all that, but the big issue is when people are starting to bet the NBA globally, from China to the United States to wherever they can, in Macau, wherever an NBA bet goes down, the NBA is going to want a piece of that bet. And I think that has a lot to do with this deal. I'm looking at it personally as a quicker road to relocation and or expansion. And Sonny the caller made a really good point. He was blown away by the Vegas Golden Knights. So was I. But I think the Vegas Golden Knights worked the way it did because they were expansion. I think if they were a hockey team that moved from another city, it would have been great. But it wouldn't have been our team. It wouldn't have been our guys. It wouldn't have been the inaugural season that everybody got behind. I think that's very important when we talk about the NBA over the next couple of years. If they move a New Orleans franchise here and then they scrub the name and it's Vegas, I get it, but it's not going to be the same as an expansion team that gets built from here where people like myself would say, I'm giving up the Knicks, which would be hard to do. I gave up the Islanders. I don't know if I can give up the Knicks, but I'd give them up to be an NBA fan of this new Vegas team. I think that'd be tough to do if a team moved from Orlando or another city such as New Orleans and came here. It just wouldn't be the same. And remember what Mr. Foley paid for that expansion fee at $500 million. I really believe, and you heard it here first, that all of what happened today, save this for a promo, Bobby, helped lower the expansion fee for the Vegas team down the road. Just remember I said that. Because of gaming, because of what they do with the Summer League, what they have going on with trying to save a franchise in the WNBA and relaunch it here. I think the overall expansion fee for an NBA team here just got chipped away as Adam Silver made that agreement today with the MGM. Exciting day today. I mean, I'm driving around. You can imagine if you're not listening to a show that's talking about this? I mean, this is the day you stop everything. We're going to get into a Raiders injury here, but this is a lead story today globally that happened in our city in Las Vegas. Love your opinion on it, 876-1340, and I would love you to stop by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore right there on Boulder Highway in Henderson. When I was there last week, met with Frank, the owner, the entire team there. They get it. They're looking to do deals. They have deals for you around the clock. I follow them on Twitter. They say, JT, tell your listeners to come on by, and we'll put a deal together. They've done more deals in town than any Hyundai dealership, the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. as next we'll be joined by Matt Schneidman. I'm excited to talk to him. I met him up at Raiders camp. He's legit. He's embedded with the Raiders, and he'll come on this show to tell us. And we'll see how he is on these injuries, what's happening with Khalil Mack, and the excitement as the Raiders play a week from Friday in Oakland against Detroit. You're listening to Fox.
Ball on the 1 yard line. You got a chance to win another Super Bowl. Tell me what it's like in the huddle.
Confusion. And the confusion was from everybody else in the huddle.
Wow, that is beast mode. That is really good sound about the confusion of what happened. And you know what happened at the Super Bowl when he didn't get the ball overall and all the issues surrounding that team. I tell you, I was at camp for the last 3.5 days, and Beast Mode looked fit. He looked lean. It was the first real conversation I had with him with a little bit of depth to it. And he's got a new coach in John Gruden, which is a really big deal. Matt Schneidman, kind enough to join us. I think this story is really great. He covers the Raiders for the Mercury News from Syracuse to class of 2017 and now covering an NFL team in a big-time market. Matt, thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, we got to make sure we get you on a good phone line here, so let me check again. First off, Syracuse and the Daily Orange. That's a good connection. You go from a big-time program to a big-time route covering a great NFL team.
Very fortunate.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you on a better phone line, Matt. We got to get Matt on a better phone line, and we'll go from there. That's one of the tough things about Napa is trying to talk to someone in the middle of Napa where there isn't great cell coverage. But the Raiders have a lot of news that's happening today in regards to letting Vidal Alexander go, which isn't that big of a surprise. But now the injury to Gerrion Conley is a really big deal. And then the fact that they got to get the Khalil Mack deal done. And a lot of people are wondering what the background noise is on Khalil Mack. There isn't much. Khalil Mack's agent is very hardcore and doesn't want his client on SportsCenter talking, showing up on TMZ. And he doesn't want his client talking to the head coach or the GM every day because he, the agent, is trying to negotiate a deal. So I think that's really interesting to me here as the Raiders have great intention, tremendous intention to get Khalil Mack signed. Mack is beyond a great player. I think he's the second or third best player overall on defense in the NFL, depending on who's healthy, and they've got to have him on the field. He's a must. He's got to be on the field to start the season because they're opening up against the Rams and the Broncos, and the Rams and the Broncos are really good. I mean, the Broncos are down a bit, but their quarterback played great last year for the Vikings, and the Rams could be one of the top three offenses in all of football, and that defense has Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald. So incredible what's happening there overall. There is a lot of uniqueness in regards to the cap, trying to get everything set underneath the cap, and for the Raiders to get the Mack deal done. So, Bobby, why don't we jump on out of here? We'll wait for him to come back. We're going to get a clear phone line. Also, Jim Trotter is going to join us, a great NFL insider, one of the best out there. We'll be back. We'll continue here with our football coverage. All the news from Raiders camp in Napa and the historic day as the MGM Resorts has come to an agreement with the NBA and Adam Silver on the future of gaming issues with data issues moving forward, which I believe opened the door to expansion for Vegas for the NBA. We'll get into that next.
To win a Super Bowl and to lose a Super Bowl in the fashion that we did lose it in, like, I mean, it don't get no better for a person. All it do is, at the end of the day, is it tests your character. And in the face of adversity, it shows you is. You win some, you lose some.
But you live.
But you live!
Beast mode. I love that sound as he talks back and looks back at the days in Seattle. Back to Raiders training camp with Matt Schneidman, who joins us. And Matt, thanks for coming back on. And I really think the big story so far at camp, outside of Max contract status going forward, is Gerrion Conley and the injury. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. It sounds like he'll be out a couple weeks. You know, John Gruden said, you know, he's more disappointed. I asked him yesterday, are you concerned with this hip strain is what they're calling it. Paul Gunther calling it a minor hip strain. It seems a little bit more than minor, but should be out a couple weeks. John Gruden said the big word for him is disappointment. You know, he hates to see for this kid who was 100% healthy coming into camp, coming off a lost rookie season. You know, people consider him part of this rookie class, figured to be their number one corner, maybe number two behind Rashawn Melvin. But, you know, there's really no reason for optimism surrounding Gerrion Conley. I mean, even if he does come back in a couple weeks, Raiders fans have every right to be just cautious around every step he takes because of his injury history. And, you know, John Gruden isn't concerned long-term per se, but, you know, they just don't know what they're going to get. And coaches and fans, regardless of whatever kind of dose of optimism they try and see in this, you just never know with Gerrion Conley. You know, he's a talented player in the small spurts we've seen, but that's all they've been, small spurts. So the jury's still out on him. Only potential as of now, and we'll see if he can stay healthy at any point this season.
Matt, what's interesting to me is for, you know, decades I've been talking on the radio about players that are injured or they're injury prone. If you break a leg like Derek Carr, that's a freak. That's just a break that happens once in a lifetime. You're not injury prone. But if you can't get on the field and you're not available because of hip strains or you're pulling your quad or you're having injuries to your calf and you just can't catch up with your career, then you get tagged as being an injury-prone type of guy. I want to give Conley the benefit of the doubt, but there's a roster spot for him to start. They have got to get him on the field sooner than later and healthy.
No doubt. And I think at this point, you know, in the, let's say, two injuries he's had, let's say the shin and the hip, I think we can call it bad luck right now, but if it, you know, lingers on more again, then I definitely could see that injury-prone tag just being lumped on him because, like you said, this one, you know, Paul Gunther said it was just a one-on-one play where he made up and went up for a ball and made a nice play. I don't recall seeing that play back on Friday. It was day one of training camp. But a routine play like that, and it keeps you out for a couple weeks, you know, is a little concerning for Raiders, at least. And then, obviously, last year you had the shin injuries. We still don't know the full extent of kind of what happened, kind of how Reggie McKenzie first diagnosed it, how Gerrion Conley came back. And he since said he didn't feel anywhere close to 100% when he came back for weeks two and three last season. So that kind of played a part in that lingering. But who knows kind of how the training staff and Jack Del Rio and everyone diagnosed that. But now that it's a completely different injury, like you said, that phrase injury prone is starting to sneak in. And, you know, already, Raiders fans on Twitter, at least, I know it's Twitter, but, you know, they're starting to get the same feeling as last season, as kind of this feels like deja vu for Gerrion Conley.
Matt, finally, because we're up against it with John Gruden, the criticism that he's getting from anybody thinking he's a five-win coach this year or he's playing film from the 70s or he's making all this money. I know John Gruden as good as anybody. I've never seen him more locked in and prideful. At the alumni luncheon, the way he connected with the owner and the former players, no one wants to win more than John Gruden. What have you noticed in a minute here left about his demeanor and his intensity covering practice every day?
Yeah, I think any time with a new coach, you really have to get your players to buy in. And with such a drastic change in personality, at least from what I saw from Jack Del Rio last year, the players have really bought in. And you see players in practice like Bruce Irvin or Arden Key or guys just getting fired up randomly for small things. And that is directly a result of the energy. I know energy is a cliche word, but the vibe that John Gruden gives off to the team and everyone I've talked to, everyone we've talked to, they really love John Gruden, and it seems genuine. It doesn't just seem, you know, I'm going to put on this front for the media to make it seem like everything's good in our locker room. But like you said, he understands he has his doubters, and he understands where they're coming from. You know, he's been out of the league for, you know, 9-10 years on the sideline at least. So he knows there are going to be his doubters and people wondering what he can do. But this team has bought in, and I understand people who say, you know, maybe the results won't be there, and maybe they won't. but he has players who have bought in who really respect him as a head coach, and that's step number one as a new head coach.
Matt, we'll do this a bunch more. Really appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks, JT. Appreciate it.
You got it. Matt Schneidman live from Napa. Now we go to one of the best elite NFL insiders, sports storytellers in the business. Jim Trotter joins us live on Fox Sports Radio. Jim, I appreciate you making a few minutes. How you been?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
A couple of big things. We're talking Raiders football first and the background noise on Khalil Mack. John Gruden told me on the air that he talked to him after he got the job, but we all know that Reggie and John haven't had a lot of communication, if any, with him. Is that because of the Raiders or Mack's agent, who is difficult to deal with at times?
JT, I can't speak to that. I can only speak to my conversation with John yesterday, and he is extremely focused on getting this team, the guys who are here, ready to play. And he understands, as he said to me, when you do a deal like they're talking about for Khalil, that is something that affects not only the player, but the entire organization, you know, because of the money that you're committing and what it means down the road, those sorts of things. So he has left that pretty much to, you know, the people in charge, and he is focused on simply getting these players ready to play.
Jim Trott is our guest. Jim, I look at Mack as one of the best players I've seen come into the league. Since Von Miller, I put him at a level with talent like a Lawrence Taylor. But as you mentioned, when we talk about contracts here, you can only have three or four players who make that much guaranteed money going up against the cap if you want to build for something long-term. The Raiders haven't won in a long time. They're in a unique situation with Mack, Carr, Amari Cooper coming up. And those are, could be three cornerstone players from Oakland all the way into Las Vegas that are important to have under contract.
No, there's no doubt about it. And I found it interesting that you've heard John and other coaches say, when you talk about the impact of Khalil, and say, well, this defense wasn't very good with him. So how do you take that? Do you take that to mean that he's saying that if we don't have him, or even with him, that we didn't have an impactful defense, so without him, what's the difference? I can tell you this, they're really excited about the young guys that they have. Arden Key has impressed everyone thus far, you know, in terms of what he's done in camp. Now, obviously, it's not games, and they've only had pads on a couple days, but he has really impressed people. And then inside, they really like Maurice Hurst in terms of what he's been able to do there. And I think also what they feel is that if Garyon Conley ever gets healthy, that they've got some talent at the corner position. You know, they like what they've seen out of Darryl Worley thus far filling in for Conley. You know, they're excited about Rashawn Melvin. And so if you can scheme up pressure, not necessarily sacks, but scheme up pressure, which is what they think Paul Gunther can do, you know, then they may be more patient about whether or not they pay Khalil what he wants. Now, for me, you pay guys like Khalil. I mean, when you talk about a guy who was all-pro, first-team all-pro at two positions in the same year, a guy who in every way is what you want in that locker room in terms of attitude, work ethic, commitment, all of those things, you know, to me, you got to find a way to pay him. And there's no question in my mind you are in much better defense with him than without him. So I think if this is a game of chicken, it's a very dangerous game as it relates to the defense.
Jim Trotter's our guest. I really respect your opinion on how you cover both sides, the league and the owners, historically, and the players, and social injustice and what individual players are going through. How do you think the offseason was handled recently with Jerry Jones talking and then having to pull back from Malcolm Jenkins to the way, as you travel around, Jim, and go to other NFL camps, you're going to talk to owners who are going to have different perspectives on the anthem protest and how they should fine their players or eat the fine. What have you learned?
Look, I can tell you this. You're asking my opinion. It was handled poorly this offseason. The reality is, before the owners went into the May meetings down in Atlanta, that the anthem or the demonstrations during the anthem were sort of petering out. You only had, you know, a handful of guys who were actually demonstrating at the end of last season. And the focus was moving away from that. And so anything that the league did to try and change that was simply going to inflame the situation again. And that's exactly what happened. And then for the league to come up with a new policy without even consulting the Players Association, well, you knew that wasn't going to fly in terms of the focus. Did the league have the right to do that if it so chose? Everything I've heard is that it did. But still, again, just from a partnership perspective, they should have worked together on it, which is what they're doing now. So I think it's unfortunate. What I would like to see is more owners stand up who say they support their players. You know, that many of these owners who have got behind the social justice initiative and partnership, you know, have said that they believe that what their players are doing is right. It's on the right side of history. They support them. Well, supporting them doesn't mean doing it necessarily just in private. It means doing it in times when you're uncomfortable. And that means at times standing up to even the president when he gets on his bully pulpit and says things that simply aren't true. So I would like to see more owners come out and do that and contradict Jerry Jones. You know, we've heard it from both New York owners. We heard Tisch say, hey, we're not going to fine our players if they demonstrate. We heard Chris Johnson of the Jets say, we're not going to fine our players if they demonstrate. And I can tell you, I've talked to several other teams that have told me right now their plan is not to fine their players if they demonstrate. So what's also contributing to the confusion right now is, you know, you've got teams that are saying the league was asking us for our workplace rules, and they were saying, how do we define our workplace rules as it relates to the anthem and as it relates to any kind of penalty or punishment we would want to impose on players when, A, the league has yet to define for us what respect the flag means, and, B, the league has yet to define for us what its fine schedule is for the teams if a player is to demonstrate. So if you don't have all those things in order right away, it's kind of tough to pass that on to the clubs and say, now put in place a policy where we need to know how you're going to discipline your players if you choose to for violating the policy.
Jim, one follow-up on this. As you know, especially with your role in the media can bring out the right side of any story. They can inflame issues that are happening. And there's always going to be issues about social injustice that get on cable news and network news. And I'm wondering how the league is going to get to a point 2 years, 8 years, 20 years down the road when there is something that flames up. Rightfully or wrongfully, it's being described a certain way by the media, and then the players in a sports league will stay with the NFL, reacts to it. The league is not going to want to see flare-ups every other week throughout NFL cities where players are taking a knee or not. I think that's the most difficult thing because owners care about the players. The players obviously care about their causes. But what about the media and the role that they play keeping these stories center stage and giving the reason for the players' revolt or the fact that they want to protest?
Look, this is the point that I made to you. This is why you have to be a person of conviction. Mm-hmm. You have to stand for something. You can't simply stand up during times of convenience. You have to stand up during times when you're uncomfortable. And I'll say this to you. You're absolutely right. These things aren't going to go away. And in fact, back in 2006, when Roger Goodell was named NFL commissioner, it was about a week after that or so, he met with Dr. Harry Edwards, the noted sports sociologist, and they met at a Raiders game. It was a preseason game between the Raiders and the 49ers. And Roger Goodell wanted to know from Dr. Edwards, what am I stepping into? What are the challenges that I'm facing? Those sorts of things. And Dr. Edwards told him that day, they talked for more than 3 hours during that game in the owner's booth, and he told him, number one, the composition of the league is changing in terms of who the face of the league is, your star players. You're having more black players come in, and they are going to become the face of your league. He said, number two, they are going to bring their communities into the locker room with them. They are not going to leave it at the door. And so, therefore, you need to understand what's going on here and have a plan for dealing with it. Now, it was exactly a decade later that Colin Kaepernick took his knee. So Dr. Edwards, you know, was prescient in terms of what he told the commissioner. And that's not going to change. So to think that somehow, even if you resolve this issue right now with the players, that you are never going to face some sort of social issue in your league, you're kidding yourself. And to me, that's why you want to have a partnership where you look at the NBA. What do you hear from NBA players? The commissioner hears us. The commissioner works with us. The things that are important to him, they're important to the league. And sometimes that's all it takes to get something accomplished in terms of dealing with a really sensitive issue, both from a social standpoint and from a business standpoint. And I think that the NFL and the players and particularly the NFL and the union, have not gotten to that point yet.
Finally, Jim, you seem very impressed, like I and many, about LeBron James opening up his own school in Akron, Ohio. Can we wrap it up with that? Your comments on what I thought was an amazing day for one of the most popular athletes around the world, especially with a conscience.
No, I thought it was tremendous, and I can't overstate, for me personally, what that means to see someone in his position, with his influence, with his platform, to say it's not just about me, it's about others. It's about reaching back and helping the next generation and paying it forward. And, I'm supposed to be a person who knows his words and those sorts of things, but I'm almost speechless with it, because when you see guys like LeBron do what he's doing, when you see Jalen Rose also found a public charter school, high school, and to reach back to the next generation and to show them that there are people who care about you, that you're not out there alone. And what was so great about LeBron's is that it wasn't just about the young kids who are going to go to school and have a chance to go to college one day. He applied it to basically the communities. And he said, okay, if your parents don't have their GED or their high school education, they can come and do that. We're going to pay for your lunches. You know, we're going to pay for your breakfast, your snacks. We're going to give you bikes to help you get back and forth, and that's what you need. Because he said when he was a kid, you know, having a bike allowed him to get out of the neighborhood and to sort of expand his horizon somewhat. All of these different things where he looked, to me, he looked at sort of the macro view of it and took into account all of the influences that are impacting these kids. Again, I just thought it was phenomenal, and I said this on social media, and I'll say it again. In my opinion, at the end of the day, LeBron's legacy is not going to be about what he did on the basketball court. It's going to be about the way that he had an impact on so many kids and so many people in society.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure. Thanks for turning this around and coming on with us. Greatly appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate you having me.
You got it. Jim Trotter, that's a great get. That's a guy that I like to talk to more often, who covers the NFL, covers the biggest stories in sports, and really has a sharp mind talking about all those issues. You know, he sits down privately and on the air with NFL Network with John Gruden. He's got an opinion on Khalil Mack, but I wanted to get more of his opinions from his social media platform on what's happening with social injustice, the player's perspective. He covers the league. He covers the owners. He covers the NFL. But he has strong opinions in support of the players who are fighting social injustice. So it's interesting when you look at a league that has really respected journalists at the NFL Network, and they're live from Canton, Ohio. The NFL owns NFL Network. We all get that. They own NFL media. They don't want their reporters going out and other people around saying negative things about the league. Jim Trotter's got the gravitas and the ability to go out there and talk about a lot of issues that are there. Wow, good show today. I'm happy we were able to get a really good young NFL Raiders insider on the show, and we're going to have him on a lot more, Matt Schneidman, and especially Jim Trotter. I have the Derek Carr interview that I wanted to replay today. We'll probably get to it sometime by the end of the week. We'll get more into Canton, Ohio and the Hall of Fame and everything that's happening there. And obviously, we're going to lead tonight on Fox Sports Radio with the baseball trade deadline. And the biggest story was the fact that one player didn't move. Las Vegas is Bryce Harper. Harper could have been moved, but it would have took a boatload, possibly for a rental. I'll get into this tonight. Who's more important to their league, Bryce Harper or Kawhi Leonard? Kawhi Leonard looks to be a rental in Toronto. Washington didn't want to give up Bryce Harper for a quick rental.
MGM has a very unique position with the NBA and the WNBA. Of course, the MGM, and through Jim Murren as their CEO, is the owner of the Las Vegas Aces, our WNBA team in Las Vegas. And in addition, MGM is our partner in the Las Vegas Summer League.
As we sit here live today, the last day of July 2018, the Adam Silver announcement on the agreement with MGM Resorts will be a huge day that we'll look back on 2 to 3 years from now. That's my prediction. I don't think I'm going out on a limb. but I wanted to make sure we covered it here today on Fox Sports Radio. Where were you on the day that the NBA came to agreement with a gaming company, a resort company, on data, the ability to put together a vision down the road? This is a short-term deal, not for a lot of money, but it signifies an agreement here. Hey, maybe when this agreement comes up, are there going to be other companies like Wynn or other big names that come in and say, hey, we want to do a deal. We want to go over the top. We're Caesars. We're William Hill. We're whatever company it is, a global company saying we want that business. And will there be a bidding war where Las Vegas and the MGM will have first right of refusal because they put the deal together? That's the way I look at this. Tremendous day. Tremendous day here in Vegas. Thanks to our guest, Matt Schneiderman, who joined us, who covers the Raiders for the Mercury News, and Jim Trotter from NFL Media, who checked in. We'll have a conversation with Colt Miller, the first-round pick of the Silver and Black tomorrow. Russell Baxter, the football guru, I have him booked later in the week. We have Steve Fezzik. Lee Sterling will check in on win totals for the NFL and how to bet the preseason coming up later in the week. Good to be back. Good to be back from Napa in the blazing heat of Las Vegas. Looney joins me at the top of the hour. We got a great guest list lined up. Jay Glazer, the great NFL insider from Fox. Bill Platsky from the LA Times. We'll check in and hopefully we'll hear from you. Follow me on Facebook at JT The Brick or on Twitter at JT The Brick. Thanks to the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. And get on out and head to that great happy hour, 5 to 7, midnight to 2. You football fans, get the PTs.